that's what it means when faith in Christ increases. Okay? And the question we need to ask is our faith increasing? Is the things that we're doing for God actually say, God, I'm going to do better. And Lord, if this area I can do, but what are the other areas, Lord, I need to improve myself in this area so that I can keep increasing in faith. Remember, Christians, don't just serve God. I don't know about you. Yesterday, I had a big blessing at a youth meeting. Some of you need to come for a youth meeting. But I had a big blessing. You know, perhaps, maybe it's sometimes seldom talked about. You know, there's a difference between works and fruit. Because the youth are talking about the fruit of the Spirit. There's a big difference between works and fruit. You know what's the difference? Fruits is what you do. Sorry, works is what you do, but fruit is who you are. Yes, faith needs to lead to works, because why ultimately God wants it to be fruit in your life. But when we are not willing to do the works, we're not going to get to the fruit. Does that make sense? Simple illustration. If I want to learn computers, what must I do? I must do computers, right? I must do it day in, day out. And after that, I begin to understand more and more of it. And then you can ask me anything, I can just, because it's already in my life, that's a fruit. Is it possible many Christians, our faith is not increasing because we are not even willing to start with the works? Oh, listen to the scriptures. When we grow in faith, it means that in that particular area, the works will increase. And the more we do, because see, God wants our works to increase, not just for fun. He wants to grow the fruit in our lives. Why do parents get children to go through remedial and lots of assessment papers? Why? So that when they get to the exam, it's going to be second nature. When they answer questions, they will know what to do. Right? Right, Angel, how much assessment does... I better don't ask him. I'll ask you separately. we get to do a lot of assessment papers, right? Why? So that... Right, Sam? He's smiling. Why do you do the assessment papers? You realize that the more you do it, the more sharper you are in understanding what your examiners are asking. So that when you go into the exam, you know what to do. Is it possible God is actually doing that with us, that we increase our works, we increase our faith, become fruit in our lives, okay? And so faith must be active, faith must increase. And number three, faith grows when our faith in Christ enlarges. Enlarges. This enlarging has to do with our widening sphere of our faith. In other words, God says, well, I'm a Christian now. I've gotten baptized. Lord, what do you want me to do? I start doing what God wants me to do. Okay, this one area. And as I submit to God, and I do what God wants me to do, and I begin to grow in that area, and say, well, okay, you've done this. I want you to go to something else. And God begins to use you, or say, before you do something else, you train some people and you go on to another one. Okay? You realize this was what the Apostle Paul went through? Just turn to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Apostle Paul had a hard time convincing some of the early Christians that he's genuine. I mean, he has been killing Christians, you know, and after that, when he came and said, Lord has saved me, and all the Christians said, yeah, sure, you're here just to undercover to kill us, right? You know, it took a long time. But in Acts chapter 12, I like this because what happened, look at verse number 24 and 25, Acts 24, 25. You know, Paul and Barnabas was encouraging the churches there in Jerusalem. And then after that, the Bible says in verse 24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So, Paul and Barnabas were encouraging the believers at in Jerusalem, and they finished their ministry, so they went back to Antioch, where they were. Okay? And so they had to encourage the Christians there, and though they were encouraged, and Paul finished the ministry there. You know what is the relevance of Acts 13? The first missionaries called by the Holy Spirit. And guess who they called? Paul and Barnabas. Because they were faithful in what they did in Jerusalem, they came back. And God says, set these two guys apart for the mission I've called them to. You know, that principle is so important for us as Christians. And I believe with all my heart, when God calls you to a certain ministry, do your best where it is. So that when you begin to grow in that particular ministry, God begins to see there are certain characteristics I am trying to train you in, because if I want you to do something else somewhere, you got to get this right first. He that is faithful in the little will then be faithful in the much. So if we cannot fulfill our ministry here, no way God's going to move us to somewhere else. Does it make sense? And oftentimes this is important because the word faith includes, the word grow in faith includes enlargement. And the Lord has been kind. I'm sure many men of God, they were doing many, many ministries until God called them to a particular ministry so that they can understand the overview of ministry, so that God can actually have a widening sphere in their lives. How wide is your faith? How much influence do you have? I'm not talking about pride here. I'm talking about God using you that whenever people think about Christians, they think about Timothy Toriano, or they think about Gideon, or they think about Christy, and they'll think about, is it possible in your class, maybe when you stand for Christ and all that, people may not like it, but when someone's in trouble, you know what they'll say? Go to Christy, you can trust her. Amen? What is that influence in your life do you have? Your faith. No, Paul was so encouraged because the Thessalonian church was shining. They were active in the work. They were increasing in their faith and their sphere was widening. In 1 Thessalonians, the Bible said the gospel sounded out from Thessalonica. Okay? Even people don't even know them. They will say, hey, you want the missions? You go to Thessalonians. Okay? Those are the guys doing that. Is our faith growing? In Matthew chapter 25, verse 28, let me just read this. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and she shall have abundance. You know what God says? Look, if you do the little bit faithfully, I will widen your influence. Because, can I say this? I'm not very old, amen? Because I know some older than me. But you know what? You know, in the short life that we have, Christian, how much do you want God to use you? I won't tell you what God has laid on my heart for my own life. But are you willing to do what God wants you to do where you are? Because God wants to use you. When God saves us, it's not for ourselves, it's for someone else. Remember the little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? He only had a day's lunch. He surrendered then. Guess what? God fed the multitudes. And even up to today, the one boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes are still being mentioned because of his sacrifice. And guess what? He was a nameless boy. But he is oftentimes mentioned as the principle of sacrifice that God can use to influence so many people, to fill their hunger. You know, all it takes is your desire to serve God. Right? There was a lady whose movements was, you know, a little bit, and so she was a little bit crippled, and so she couldn't really move around a lot. But you know, she was a genuine Christian, and she has been praying, and she said, God, okay, I want to serve you in some way. But you know, her movements were hard, and she couldn't do much, she was old. And then she got an idea, and she was praying. She got an idea. What she did was, she said, I can actually call someone, or someone can call me, and they can name me the hymn they want. Apparently, she can still play the piano. And so, I can encourage them through piano playing. You know? And what she did was she put an advertisement in the papers. And before long, people started calling. You know, over a few months, she had literally encouraged hundreds of people who call in. And all she did was just play the piano so that she can be encouragement. And there's so many of these people pouring out their woes to her. You know what? If you want to serve God, we can do something. Amen? Because if your faith in God says, if this is what God wants me to do, Lord, I need to do something for you. You can think of the most creative ways to serve. Number one. Number two, our lives will be a blessing to others when our faith groweth exceeding. Number two, our lives will be a blessing to others when they see genuine love prevailing and abounding among God's people. Look at verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you. In 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3, brethren, as it is me, because the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth. Okay? Now, we know love has always been the mark of a Christian. Okay, love must be a mark of the Christian, especially in these last days. But many times the love we see in churches can be seen in the world. What do I mean by that? Love for the things of this world, love for only certain people, cliques and groups. Genuine love needs to be seen in a local church. Now, Amy Carmichael, how many of you know Amy Carmichael? Okay, one of the very famous missionaries to India who saved many of the temple children. Okay, Amy Carmichael said this, you can give without loving, or you can't love without giving. All right? Genuine love will give. Now, what did Paul say about this Thessalonian church? What kind of love did they have? Number one, they had charity. That means they have unconditional love. The word charity comes from the word agape, which means unconditional love. It means a love that gives even though there is no return of favor. It means a love that gives even though there's no return of care. You know, this is the love of God. If you read in some of these books, you will find that the word agape is never found in Greek classics. You know why? Because only God is capable of this love. And in the Greek classics, you read some of those literature, you will never find the word agape there. Why? Because the love that they have is eros and phileo, which is actually the intimate love and also a friendship love, but they never touch agape love. Because do you realize the word agape only comes from one book? You know what book is that? The Bible. Only God is capable of that unconditional love. That's why when we show as parents unconditional love to our children begin to share abroad, people will begin to say, who are these strange people? Who are these people that can love like this? No, Paul says this. These Christians in Thessalonica was able to love one another genuinely. Okay, 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. That was what I preached about a few weeks before. God cleansed us from all our sins so that our love can be made perfect. Right now, we are capable of loving each other perfectly, number one. In the Thessalonian church, there was unconditional love. Number two, it was a love given to each other. Because the Bible says that charity aboundeth, charity toward one another. Love cannot be love unless it's given. Don't say, I love all men, but you stay at home and do nothing. Do you really love all men? No. Love is genuine love when you do something. Can you imagine if this boy says to this girl, I love you, but do nothing. Just do nothing. You won't even say anything of encouragement. Oh, I still love you. You know why? You know I love you. Why must I say? Why must I give you things? You know Ken already. I don't think you'll last very long in a relationship. Right? Even in a, don't talk about even normal friendship. Right? Even normal friendship. If you really care for a friend, you know, I'm thankful that in this church, many people just do simple things for one another as a form of encouragement, just being out there. Many times I strongly encourage good works because that's what Bible teaches us, not as charity, but as meeting needs. Okay, this is what the early church did. And so, love must always be shared. Otherwise, it's not genuine love. A true Christian, though, will love the way the Lord Jesus Christ loved. The Thessalonian church was a testimony, you know why? Because people were persecuting them. People were killing them. After in another passage, I will actually highlight that a little bit more. But in that hostile environment where personal security was number one, you know what? They were still loving one another. They were still loving one another. Okay? Because, I just thought of this. This I believe is very important. You see, the Thessalonian church, their love is not determined by the environment. But their love determines the environment. Their love for each other is not determined by what happens out there. Their love determines what's out there. In other words, the influence of God, the Holy Spirit, with His love in our hearts, as we do things, as we care for another person, our love begins to influence the other people. I was talking to a missionary once, and the missionary was with this missionary couple who went there. And this missionary couple was very bitter about certain things in their lives. You know, but you know what this veteran missionary is telling me? I'm not going to allow him to affect me. I'm just going there. He's supposed to be trained by me. I'm still going there to infect him with the truth. Amen. I'm there to infect him with the truth. Yeah, he may feel bitter about what people have done to him, you know. But I'm still the veteran missionary, and I believe God wants me to use His love to affect him. So I'm going to still infect him with the truth. I'm going to infect him with the love. And you know what? This missionary is still in the field. And by God's grace, he has a widening sphere of influence. Okay, I think our brother So has right now, he's not just starting one church. Now he's going to different provinces. Faith enlarges. Does that make sense? And you know what? I don't know about you, but every time I hear people like these brothers in Christ, you know, I hope you're encouraged too. Christians, widen your own sphere for Christ. Okay? And so, this particular... firstly, the love is unconditional. It's given to others. Remember, our love determines the environment. And Christians, can I say this? Don't let the environment change you. If you believe, this is, if God wants you to be holy, then don't let the environment change you. If God wants you to be loving, then don't let the bitterness of the environment change you. If God wants you to be honest, then don't let the environment change you. You affect the environment. We are to be the light of this world. We are to be the salt of the earth. This is what God says, okay? And number three, the love is to be given to each other. And apparently here, the love aboundeth. The word abound means, in the literal meaning of the word, means to superabound. Superabound. In other words, not just aboundeth, this is abound, it's superabound. In other words, the love for each other is just kind of obvious. You know, we need a love in our Christian life that people can, the moment they see you, it's letter L-O-V-E come out all over the place. You know, come out from your ears, your nose, everywhere. Everything you do, what you say, it's been encouragement. And by the way, love is not doing just what someone else wants. Love does what someone else needs. And that's very important. Because if you love me, you do this good thing for me. Not with God. Okay? Genuine love sometimes have to... Psh, yes. Yes, some children. Yes. Psh, huh? Okay? Because the Bible says if you genuinely love your child, you will deal with them. What's discipline? God has to discipline us. Genuine love must come out from a Christian and it's abounding. Is the love in your life abounding? Do you realize one thing? If you genuinely love someone, you don't need opportunities. You know why? You create the opportunities. I had this friend, okay? Not a close friend, but a distant friend. This friend, in times past, had a pair of chickens, okay? And this friend, what he would do, this friend is a very famous preacher. Probably by now you know who he is. Very famous preacher of yesteryears. And he would have this chicken, and every time the chicken laid the egg, he will insist on selling this egg so they can get some money. Okay? Now, this particular preacher, he was a preacher, was very notable for his good works. But for these particular two chickens that lay eggs, he just will not give away the eggs. All right? And he will insist on selling it. Okay? And what happened was after this particular preacher died, then the wife revealed why. This particular preacher sold the eggs with the money that he got from the eggs that goes to support a widow that has no husband. You know who the preacher is? Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Spurgeon. You know what? You realize Spurgeon built many orphanages in England during that time? And he cared for many? But you know what? I don't know about you, but he's pretty creative. And he insisted so that he can support this widow. You know, I'm thankful for the love. Many of you have been an encouragement to my family. And I hope our family has been to yours. And I hope not just like that, but you know, crisscross, we need a church that is growing in love and abounding. Guess what? You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, may He also rejoice and give thanks for Ambassador Baptist Church in that area. Is our love abounding? Number three, the last point. Our lives will be a blessing when they see our faith grow. Our life will be a blessing when they see the love of God prevailing among God's people. And number three, our lives will be a blessing to others when they see our endurance in times of persecution and tribulations that come. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because, in verse 4, your patience and faith in all your persecution and tribulations that you endure. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you see someone going through a tribulation and still being faithful to Christ, doesn't that do something for you? Doesn't that do something for you? Right? When Paul had first brought the gospel to Thessalonica, If you look at Acts chapter 17, verse 5, I'll just read, all right? The believers were under strong persecution. They're not under opposition. Opposition is people say things against you, try to stop you. Persecution is when they drag you out of your families, they dig out your eyes, they kill you, they wake you up and say, I'll throw you in prison unless you renounce Christ. That's persecution. In verse number 5 in Acts 17, I'll read, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain Luke fellows of the baser sort. I like the way they describe it. And gathered a company and set all the city on uproar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. So when Paul preached at Thessalonians, you know what? The Jews who didn't like the gospel began to not, literally, maybe if Brother Rolando is Jason, they pull Brother Rolando and start bashing him up. Of course, Celine and Louisa, don't meet my mom, don't meet my daddy. You know, but too bad. Because he trusted Christ. But you know what? Paul actually fled. You know what happened? In verse number 13, the Jews, Paul fled the country. You know what? Instead of just leaving them alone, the Jews followed them to the next area. In Acts 17, 13, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Alright? And so the people at Thessalonians were having a hard time because these Jewish opponents of the gospel were tenacious. They even asked the Gentiles to oppose Paul at every preaching point, you know, fight him. And Paul's letters to the Thessalonians indicate that the suffering continued even after his departure. In other words, Paul was the culprit to start the gospel and the persecution. When they left, you know what? The Christians still underwent persecution. But guess what? Paul was very encouraged, but despite the persecution, the Thessalonian Christians were still a blessing to the people. Many, you know, regardless of the persecution that came, they stood fast. They said, if this is what God is, we want Christ, and we are going to stay with Christ, come what may, even at the expense of our lives. Many people go through trials, just as an application to ourselves. Many people go through trials. We all do, amen? We all do go through trials. But when we go through what we go through, oftentimes we cannot control. What we go through, we cannot control. It could be a medical condition. It could be problems that are not caused by us. It could be someone else. But although what we go through we cannot control, listen to this, but we can control how we go through the trials. We can either go through bitter complaining to God than everyone else, or we can go through it trusting Christ, knowing that all things work together for good. Okay? So how were the Christians at Thessalonians going through their trials? Number one, they were patient. Because that's what Paul says, they were patient. The word patient, this is interesting, it means cheerful, hopeful endurance. In other words, as they were going through the trials, they were not saying, oh yeah, why la, chao kao la. How do you say chao kao in life? How do you say finish in Tagalog? That means end of the world. Huh? Tapos na, is it? Is that right? Tapos na, is it? Eunice, is it tapos na? No hope, na. Tapos na. So your exam is tapos na. Okay. And so we don't go through life tapusna, you know. And yeah, I have these trials in my life, but tapusna. Is that used correctly? I don't know. No hope already. Sorry. But you know, okay, no choice, I've got to go through it, you know. But you know what? Genuine patience through the trials, we are actually cheerful as we go through it. In other words, despite the pain, despite the things we have to go through, we are still willing to smile and say, no, I know God has a plan. I know God has a plan. No matter how hard it is. But you know, there's something else which if I learn, I hope everyone in Ambassador will learn this and everyone who listens to this. Paul was encouraged not just with the patient endurance of the people. The second one is the faith. You look at what he says, because of your patience and faith as you go through the trials. What is faith? In this context, it's the persuasion in the Lord. The faith, the confidence that you have in God that literally causes you to press on. There's two ways of endurance. Maybe Jairo, can you come here? Okay. I'm going to do something to Jairo. He's not supposed to fight back, okay? So let's imagine he's going through a trial. Of like, well, actually he is. Okay? So I'll keep doing this. Okay? He's not supposed to fight back. Okay? So if I keep going through, he says, and smile. It's a bit hard for him. Okay? If I keep punching him and keep going through he's going through a trial and tribulation. He's supposed to smile and you know what? You know, notice what he's doing already. Okay? So if I keep punching him, he's patiently enduring, he's smiling, right? Okay, he smiles, and so he's cheerfully enduring it. Okay? But if I ask him to, I want you to say kind words to Uncle Rolando. No, I'm serious. Say kind words to Uncle Rolando. He's so focused on this now. He's cheerfully enduring, right? But the instruction is to do kind thing. Say a kind word to Brother Rolando. Get this principle in your Christian life. Many times when trials come to our life, we cheerfully endure. But you know what? There's something more that God wants us as Christians to do. God wants us to have a patience that not only endure, but a patient run. That will still run. No matter how hard it is, God, if this is what you want, I know it's pressing me hard on this side, but God, if this is your will, I'm still going to press forward to do what you want me to do. Does that make sense? Paul was being persecuted, stoned to death. He is carrying the heavy burdens of the churches. But you know what? He kept going. He kept going. Lord, what do you want me to do? He kept going. Why? Because he not only endured, he had faith and God's going to lead him through. There's a difference between just enduring. There's a difference between just enduring. But a faith in enduring, knowing that God knows best and God says, I don't want you just to endure, I want you to keep running. In other words, keep on the faith. Keep on pushing on. Not allowing any of the trials. So what if you sprain your ankle? So what? Press on. I think you have heard of a story of athletes whereby I think of a South African runner, I believe, many, many years ago, whereby he sprained his ankle, all right, in a marathon. And what he did was he literally limped the entire, and people were wondering, where did this guy go? And when he began to walk in, it's almost sundown, the entire stadium rose. You know what? He said? My country sent me to finish this course, and I must finish it. Despite the pain, despite the burden that he had, he kept on running. We need a patience that says, yes, I go through the hard times. Yes, I go through. Yes, I'm cheerfully enduring. But if God still wants me to do something, I'm going to press on. God wants us to have that kind of patience in our life. There's a patience. This is harder because of patience that can run. Not just staying put, but run. In other words, you're carrying that burden in your life and you are running. Some of you are carrying burdens in your life that you no one else knows but yourself and God. But you know what? Are you willing to still run the course that God has set for you? Don't stay still. Don't stay there. God wants you to run that race. We need to finish the race. Don't finish it prematurely. Don't sit at the side stand. Keep running. All of us have a different course in life. And the Thessalonian church was a major encouragement. Why? Because when Paul looked at their life, they were still sounding out the gospel of Christ despite the difficulties, despite the persecution. They had a faith that kept running. So what is examinations around the corner? Study hard. But you know what? You need to work hard for God too. What about God's will? You know? We need to focus. If ye then be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above. We need to run. We need to run. To lie down in a time of grief, to be quiet under the stroke of misfortune, implies a great strength. The hardest thing for a Christian, oftentimes we are called to exercise our patience, not to be patiently enduring, but we are to be patient as we are running. That as we are running, people are throwing stones at us. Life issues are pressing us down. But we're still focused on Christ and say, Lord, we'll keep running. For you. To wait is hard. To do it with good courage is harder. As we close, Paul was able to thank the Lord for the Thessalonian church. Number one, because they were increasing in their faith. They were growing in their faith. Because their faith was an active faith. They were doing something for God. Their faith was an increasing faith. They were not just growing for God. They were growing deep for God. And it was an enlarging faith. Their Christian life was influencing people. Number two, Paul was able to thank the Lord for the Thessalonian church because they were abundantly loving one another, caring for one another. It was an unconditional love. It was an others first type of love. And it was an overabundance of love. I can tell you, that's what Jesus means when he says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. I oftentimes wondered, remember we always sing, if we have love one for another, right? Do you realize in the Bible it's one to another? There's a difference. If you have love for another person and love to another person, it's slightly different. Because two means I give it to you regardless of what I have in return. Whereas love for means you're really settled in your heart, which is a good thing. But you know what? Sometimes people don't just love you back. So what are you going to do? You still need to love to the other person. And finally, they were patiently enduring under persecution, going on in their faith and serving Him, and patiently still serving and still loving and still believing in Christ. As we close, how is your faith today? Is it active? Is there something that you can point to? Yes, I'm doing something for Christ. Is it increasing? Is your faith increasing in Christ? Is it enlarging? Is the fear of your influence enlarging? You realize otherwise your faith is stagnant. God wants our faith to influence someone else. How's your love today? Is it unconditional or conditional? I only love this guy if he loves me back. He doesn't do anything in return. No way I'm going to show my best. Are others experiencing the love of God in your life? Is it overabounding? How is your endurance? Is it patient? Is it persevering? Let me just read this last article. There was a Spanish philosopher. His name is Unamun. I think it's Unamuno, something like that. Unamuno. Okay, he's a Spanish philosopher. He was telling a story of a Roman aqueduct. Okay, knows an aqueduct? Aqueduct is a stone kind of a pipe that brings water from one part to another part of the city. Okay? He was talking about a Roman aqueduct in his native country of Spain. Okay? It was built in 109 AD. And the fascinating thing about this, for 1,800 years, for 1,800 years, it carried the cool waters from the mountain to the thirsty city. Okay? So this Roman aqueduct was well used. It was serving, it was doing well. For 1,800 years, okay? Nearly 60 generations of men drank from this aqueduct. Now, then came the next generation after 1,800 years. The recent one said, oh, this aqueduct has been a great marvel. I think it should be preserved for the children. Let's make it a museum. Let's just kind of make this, let's kind of like Singapore, right? They put a few million dollars to preserve the old buildings. But you know, for this aqueduct that has been serving faithfully for 1,800 years, the water has been coming down. This man said, let's just make it a museum so that our people from next generation will understand, wow, this aqueduct was very great. You know, this philosopher actually said something which was very interesting. He said, and so they did that. They laid modern iron pipes. And so the ancient bricks and the mortar, they give it a rest. So they mean to don't use it anymore. The aqueduct began to fall apart. The sun beating on the dry mortar caused it to crumble. The bricks and stones sagged and threatened to fall. And the Spanish philosopher said this, what ages of service, 1,800 years of service, could not destroy, idleness disintegrated. Faith must grow. Otherwise, it will slide back. That's why we need to die to ourselves on a daily basis. Because every day, Satan seeks to pull us back to the world. But as a church before the second coming of Christ, Christians, we have got no time left to play games with God. Is your faith growing? Is your love abounding? Is your patience strong and running? May God make us strong Christians so that our lives might be an encouragement to others. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We know that all things will be worth it all, Lord, when we see Jesus. Lord, I pray for some whose faith may be wavering. Maybe life situations begins to be hard. Life times and things, Lord, begin to wear them down. And Father, they begin to not see Christ as much as they should. Lord, maybe like Peter, they rather than looking at Christ, they are looking at the storms. And they begin to sink. And Father, I'm asking you, Lord, to touch these people's heart today based on your word. Father, I ask you to develop in them a patience that will not only endure, but a patience that will run. Like the Thessalonian church was fully persuaded that all things will work together for good. They were busy serving you. They were doing the work of the Lord. Despite the persecutions and probably many, many difficulties in their lives, they were running the race. And as a result, Paul was bound to give thanks for them. Your heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Let me just... Christian, how is your faith today? Is it active? Is it increasing? And is it expanding and enlarging? You know, for some who say, Brother John, this is the first time I heard it. Well, we can start with the active stage. And say, Brother John, pray for me that God will help my faith to grow. Is your love growing? Abounding for another brother? Is there something that you must confess that I just can't get past this? Based on the scriptures, every Christian will overcome. Is your faith overcoming? Is your love overcoming? Perfect love casts us out all fear. And we are able to love. Are we able to endure? Say, Brother Johnny, God has spoken to me somehow. I don't know what, but you know. Say, Brother Johnny, pray for me that God will help my faith to increase, my love to grow, my endurance to be not just the enduring one, but the active one. Is there anyone like that? Just put up your right hand, I'll pray for you. Amen, I see those hands. Amen. Put it up and put it down and pray. In the area that God is talking to you about, pray. Is there anyone else? Is your faith growing? Is your faith expanding? Are the works evident in your life? Is there fruit? Is there anyone else? Amen, I can see that hand too. You put it up and put it down and pray. Is there anyone else? And pray and give that heart to God. Say, God, I desire for my faith to grow. I don't know how, but Lord, open a door. Maybe we might be like the crippled old woman who just was creative in how he needs to serve God. Is there anyone else? Amen. I see that hand. Put it up and put it down and then pray. And seek the Lord. Lord, and tell God your heart. You know, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Right? Is there anyone else? Amen. I see that hand. Let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time and the many people that have put up their hands. God, I ask for a widening sphere of influence. I pray for every Christian who has put up their hands, Lord. Especially the older ones, Father, and the children. Everyone who has put up their hands, Father, I pray that you will touch them in some way. Father, I pray that their heart will be so bent on preparing themselves for the second coming. Lord, they will seek you above all. God, that their lives will reveal, Father, the genuine fruit of righteousness as you walk in their lives. Father, I ask your Holy Spirit to do a wonderful work in everyone who has put up their hands. Father, we know that without your help, we cannot do it. But we pray for your grace to be upon these people. So Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We ask you to encourage us. We ask you to strengthen us. And we ask you, Father, to use us. The Lord, even this week, as we go back to our homes and our places, we might be a person, Lord, whose faith is evident, that people can see us as Christians. So we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do as we sing the closing hymn. Encourage our hearts with it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.